والله بركاته. Inshallah, today we will do something a little bit different. We will have a short subject, inshallah. It will take about maybe 20, 25 minutes about the Sahaba, inshallah. And then we will play a speech that was given by a Muslim American scholar. His name is Hamza Yusuf. Many of you are probably familiar with him. And this talk was given in the last Muslim Society of North America, Islamic Society of North America, ISNA. And it is very related to how do you live in a country who has declared war on Muslim countries, and what is really the feeling of Muslims, at least expressing the opinions of Sheikh Hamza Yusuf and opinions that has been expressed in the Muslim Society, Islamic Society of North America, about what is the position of many Muslim scholars in this country about what goes on and how we feel about the world events today. And I thought it's an important thing that we should share together and see what you all think about that. Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa afdalu salati wa tamu taslimi ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We speak inshallah today on the life of the Sahaba. As we continued last session, we spoke of al-bay'ah, of the pledge of allegiance, the oath of allegiance that the Sahaba took, and they were trustworthy with it and they were truthful to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said of these sahaba, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. There were men that were truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what they have pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of them, there were people that perished in that cause, that died in that cause, and of them, there are people that are waiting, but they have not changed their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke of the Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Ula, the first Bay'at of Aqaba, the second Bay'at of Aqaba, and we spoke of Bay'at al-Shajara or Bay'at al-Ridwan. Today, inshallah, we continue on subject of the Sahaba, and we study an aspect of the life of the Sahaba that is very important. It was a pivotal aspect, a trait that they took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they embodied that into themselves and into their actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this justice in the action of the Sahaba transformed itself into a way of life. And what we will talk about inshallah today is al-adil. How the Sahaba understood the concept of justice, how they applied justice to their life, and how they transmitted this religion, how they spread the Muslim da'wah with the justice, how people that saw the justice of Islam incorporated Islam into their heart and they became Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa in verse 58, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enjoining upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering you to give the trust to the people that entrusted you with it, and to أَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, that you should give that trust to the people that trusted you with that trust. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, and if you are to rule and judge among people, and تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, to do so with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order you the best, enjoin upon you the best of action. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وأن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, or you who believe, be custodian of the justice, be those who work with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walau ala anfusikum, even if it's against your own selves, do the justice, say the right thing, even if it's against your own self. Awil walidain, or against your own parents. Awil wal aqrabin, or against your own kin, your own family, your own kinship. إِيَّكُنْ غَنِيًا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا. Whether that is, whether it's rich or poor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have not, you shall not follow your own desires and your own vice. And you have to follow the justice and ta'dilu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an example of justice. An example of going on the right path, saying the right thing, even if it's against those who are most beloved to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he transmitted this da'wah to all his sahaba. And he said to us in the hadith, كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤولٌ عن رعيته. All of you are custodian, all of you are responsible, all of you are in charge, and all of you are in charge of the people who are under you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you custody of. And in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ عَلَى يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ يَمِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ وَفِي أَهْلِهِمْ وَمَا وَلَّوْا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim that those who are just, those who go work with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْمُقْسِطِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ, they will be on the day of judgment on pillars of light, on the right hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَنِ, and both hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are right. الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ, those are just in their ruling, in their judgment. وَفِي أَهْلِهِمْ, and they are just among their own family. There are people who are not just with their own children. They favor some of their children over the other. They favor the boys over the girls sometimes. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. فِي أَهْلِهِمْ, you have to be just in your own family. وَمَا وَلَّوْا, and everything they are trusted with, everything they are in charge of. So anybody who is a boss at the work, they have to work with the justice in that regard. Everybody who has somebody under them, they have to be just in that. And everyone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كلكم راعٍ, all of you are in charge, and all of you are responsible for those who are under you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, to clarify this beyond a shadow of a doubt, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. All you who believe, be aware, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be diligent in your direction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ, and testify with the justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا عَلَى أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And do not let your hatred, your enmity to other people make you deviate from the way of justice. Even if you are ruling against people you dislike, against people who transgressed upon you, against people who have committed crimes against you, you have to be just. You have to be just in your ruling with them. لَا يَجْمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا عُدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just, it is closer to piety, it's closer to taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah, be mindful of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins, orders, he recommends justice and ihsan, and to do the good deeds. وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to be connected with those who are relatives to you. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents الفحشاء, which is the fornication and other sexual related sins, والمنكر, and all the bad deeds and sins, والبغي, and transgression. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُوا. And with that, we go over the Sahaba. We go over a few examples how the Sahaba were mindful, were responsible, and they were just and how they followed these recommendations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the hadith that is narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, just to see the justice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the teacher, who was the role model for these sahaba. How did they learn the justice? How did they learn how to deal with people? They learned from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on this hadith, al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Urwa, أن امرأة سرقت في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة الفتح. That a woman stole at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففزع قومها, and her people ran to who? To أسامة بن زيد. They went to أسامة. Why أسامة? Because أسامة was the beloved Sahabi of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Son of the beloved Sahabi of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. His title was الحب بن الحب. He was the beloved son of the beloved. He was the son of Zayd ibn Haritha. So they knew that he is so close to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if they make Usama intercede on behalf of that woman, then they have their best chance. So they ran to Usama, and Usama was young. Usama didn't have much experience. Usama was a teenager at that time. So it'd be easy to talk to him to intercede with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ففزع قومها إلى أسامة بن زيد يستشفعون. And then Urwa narrates, he said, فلما كلمه أسامة فيها. So Usama went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he asked some forgiveness, some leniency towards that woman. Because what is her punishment is to have her hand cut because she stole and she was not in need and etc. She met all the requirement in Sharia for the utmost punishment for the stealing. So Usama came and talked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for leniency. فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and the color of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed. فَقَالَ وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتُكَلِّمُنِي فِي حَدٍّ مِنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Are you interceding in a ruling of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is had. This is like a line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew. This is a ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in Quran. Those who steal, male or female, they cut their hand. That is a ruling, and of course there are conditions in Sharia for that. It's not an automatic hand cutting like many of the people that try to attack Islam would want to portray. In one movie they portrayed a man who stole a loaf of bread and he was dying of hunger, and then he was taken to the Khalifa and his hand was cut. And we know that's false, because the Umar radiallahu anhu, when there was a famine, he stopped working with this. When people had to, not encouraging people to steal, there was still a punishment, but it didn't reach that. But we digressed a little bit. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Usama, are you talking to me are you interceding in Hajj and a punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew? And Usama immediately said, استغفر لي يا رسول الله, or ask Allah to forgive me, O Prophet of Allah. He realized the mistake that he was doing. And then Urwa narrates, فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَشِيِّ قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَطِيبًا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and he started making khutbah for all the sahaba. فأثنى على الله, he praised Allah سبحانه وتعالى بما هو أهله, ثم قال أما بعد فإنما هلك الناس أنهم كانوا إذا سرق فيهم الشريف تركوه وإذا سرق فيهم الضعيف أقاموا عليه الحد. So that the nations before you perished, they deviated from the right path, because when an honorable man, an honorable person would steal, they would leave them alone. They would come up with excuses to let that honorable person go. That woman was from the tribe of Makhzum, Muslim, the most honorable people of Quraysh. Said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one of the elite, one of the honorable makes a mistake, the people would try to make excuses for it. وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيثُ قَالُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِ. But if somebody who is weak and somebody from the, not from the elite of the society and well-to-do in the society, then they will apply the most severe punishment upon them. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the soul of Muhammad is in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ لقطعت يدها. If Fatima, and she is all exonerated of anything like that, but he is given an utmost example. If Fatima, daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would steal, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cut her hand. ثم أمر رسول الله بتلك المرأة فقطعت يدها. Then he ordered for it and her hand was cut. And then Aisha narrates, فحسنت توبتها بعد ذلك وتزوجت وكانت تأتي رسول الله فأرفع حاجتها إلى رسول الله. She got repented and she would keep her relation with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she got married and she would come to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for things of her affair, and he would respond to her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the example of the justice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this transmitted into the Sahaba. Umar ibn al-Khattab, if you talk of the justice in Islam, immediately the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab has to come up. Umar ibn al-Khattab was one of the people that had no fear of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in applying justice. And the stories are many. The stories of Umar ibn al-Khattab were so many, and we narrated some of them when we were studying the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. But we take this opportunity and narrate some of them to see how truthful Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was in applying the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet. On the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that a man, an Egyptian man, came to Umar ibn al-Khattab at the time of his khilafah, and he said, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, ya amir al-mu'mineen, a'idhun bika min al-zulm, O amir al-mu'mineen, khalifa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I take refuge in you from transgression. I have been wronged. And many narrations say that this man was not even a Muslim. He was a Coptic. He was an Egyptian, a Christian Egyptian that came to the Prophet to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he said, I take refuge in you. I'm asking your protection against the transgression that happened to me. And Umar said, عُذْتَ مُعَاذًا, you will take your refuge, you will take your protection. And then he said, he started telling his story. He said, سَابَقْتُ بْنَ عَمْرَ بْنَ الْعَاصِ, I had a horse race with the son of Amr ibn al-'As. Now Amr ibn al-'As was the governor of Egypt. He was the man that conquered Egypt, radiallahu anhu, and he was the ultimate ruler of that country at that time. And this son was not Abdullah ibn Umar. It is well narrated that Abdullah ibn Umar is so pious, is one of the scholars. This did not happen to Abdullah ibn Umar. It's another son of Amr ibn al-'As. Not Abdullah ibn Umar. And he said, I had a horse race with the son of Amr ibn al-'As. فَسَبَقْتُ, so I beat him. I won the race. فَجَعَلَ يَضْرِبُنِي بِالصَّوْتِ, and he started whipping me with his whip. He started beating me lashes. وَيَقُولُ أَنَا ابْنُ الْأَكْرَمِينَ, I am the son of the honorable people. How do you dare beating me in a race? So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to Amr ibn al-As and said, come and bring your son. يَأْمُرُهُ بِالْخُدُومِ وَيَأْمُرُ ابْنَهُ مَعَ, didn't tell him anything, just come here to Medina and bring your son with you. فَقَدِمْ, and Amr ibn al-As came and with his son with him. And Umar said radiallahu anhu, أَيْنَ الْمِصْرِي, where is the Egyptian? And the Egyptian man came. And Umar ibn al-Khattab verified this story, and it was true. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu told the Egyptian man, خُذِ الصَّوْت, take the whip, فَضْرِبْ, and whip him, whip the son of the governor of Egypt. فَجَعَلَ يَضْرِبُهُ بِالصَّوْت, and the Egyptian man started whipping the son of Amr ibn al-As. وَيَقُولُ Umar ibn al-Khattab said, اضْرِبْ ابْنَ الْأَمِينَ, hit the one, the son of not the most honorable, the most down of people, the worst of people, the one that transgressed upon you. And then Anas radiallahu anhu is narrating the hadith. He said, فَضَرَبَ وَاللَّهِ, he started beating him. ضَرَبَهُ وَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّ ضَرْبَ, he started beating him, and the Sahaba liked him to be beaten, to learn the lesson. And then he said, فَمَا أَقْلَعَ عَنْ حَتَّى تَمَنَّيْنَا أَنْ يَرْفَعَ عَنْ, he kept beating him until we all wished that he stopped. He beat him real good. to the son of Amr ibn al-As. And then Amr ibn al-Khattab talked to the Egyptian again. And he said, "Ba'ala sal'ati Amr." Start with the bald head of Amr ibn al-As. He said, now you beat Amr ibn al-As, the governor of Egypt, the conquered country. The Muslims were not an occupying force of Egypt. This is the justice of Islam, brothers. And you compare this to what's happening in the world today. This is the man who was abused by the son of the governor of Egypt. And Umar ibn al-Khattab punished the son of the governor of Egypt, and he gives the whip to the man that has been wronged, and he said, now it's the turn of the governor himself. Is the man in charge. He said, start with his bald head and whip him. This is the justice of Islam, brothers and sisters. This is why Islam went there and stayed there. It stayed in the hearts. It did not stay by force like some people want to believe. And then Amr ibn al-As said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then the Egyptian man said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, inna mabluhu alladhi darabani. His son hit me. Amr didn't hit me. I have no problem with Amr ibn al-As. وَقَدْ اسْتَقْتَتُ مِنْ I took my right from his son. I'm done. And then Umar said his famous quotation to Amr ibn al-As, and he said, Ya Amr, منذ كم تعبدتم الناس وقد ولدتهم أمهاتهم أحرارا. متى استعبدتم الناس وقد ولدتهم أمهاتهم أحرارا. When did you make slaves of free people that were born free to their mothers? When did you enslave people that were born free to their mothers? And Amr ibn al-As said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, lam a'lam wa lam ya'tini. I did not know if what happened, and this Egyptian man didn't come to me. He came directly to you. That was the apology of Amr ibn al-As. This is how Islam made justice, brothers and sisters. This is when the mercy of Islam go into a country, it's truly to bring freedom to that country. Freedom to the hearts of people. To bring the lights to the heart of people. Not to bring the whip to the hearts of people. The whip was in the hand of the conquered people to take their rights from those who conquered them if they had rights from the people that conquered them. Another known story of the justice of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is one of his children had camels. Bought some sheep and camels, a cattle, so he can make a living. That's how people around Medina made a living. They would buy cattle, they would raise it, and they would sell what that cattle would produce, and then they will sell the cattle if they can. So the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had a cattle, and he started minding it, he started taking care of it around Medina. And then he came to the market of Medina to sell his cattle. Very lawful transaction in many people's opinion. So Umar ibn al-Khattab looked at the market. He was in the marketplace. And he looked at all the cattle. And he saw that this is the best cattle in the crowd. This is the best goods out there. The best cattle is the one with his son. And he came to him and he said, Ta'al, come here. What is that? He said, Wallahi, this is all good. This is all halal. I bought it with my own money. I didn't take anything from the treasury of Muslim. I didn't take anything from Bayt al-Mal. And I minded it myself. And I sent my shepherds outside Medina to take care of it. And here I am to sell it. And he said, So this is what you did. He said, you took your sheep and you took your camels outside Medina. And the people will say, let the sheep of the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen eat first. Let the camels of the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen drink first. Let the people will take care of you because you are my son. And look at your cattle. Now it's better than everybody else. It's fatter than everybody else's cattle. He said, take this cattle, sell it, take your capital, take your money, your initial amount that you put in, and put all the rest in the treasury of the Muslims. This cattle was raised good, not because you took care of it, because you are my son. And people honor that, and this is haram. That was the justice of Umar ibn al-Khattab. That was Umar ibn al-Khattab that was so worried that he will not even use his position to for the sheep to eat grass more than the sheep of other people. Mind you, stealing from the treasury. Mind you, taking the resources of the people and leave them in poverty, leave them without medicine and without food. That was Umar ibn al-Khattab. This was the justice of the Sahaba, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. We can go on and on, subhanallah. But I promised you to have this presentation for Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. Whatever he will say, alhamdulillah, is much better than anything that I would say. And I will never get to a level of a scholar like him. So I will stop here, inshallah. We'll make dua to lift the calamity on our brothers and sisters who are under calamity, wherever they are. And there's so many of them everywhere. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us with His mercy and not with His justice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let justice to come truly to our brothers and sisters everywhere, wherever they are. And there are so many places that justice has been lifted. الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Transgression, lack of justice, is darkness on the day of judgment. It's total darkness. And the Muslim world today is living in darkness, brothers and sisters, because we have not applied the justice among ourselves. We are not just to each other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting that to come to us, and we are seeing the effect of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand the justice and work with the justice and learn from the Sahaba. Ameen. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just give us about, inshallah, 2 minutes for setup. And this is a media player presentation, so you will, the resolution is not very good, but inshallah you will be able to see and hear Sheikh Hamza Yusuf in about 5 minutes. Jazakumullah. The talk, it's in the, I can give you a little introduction about that. This was presented in last September in the ISNA Society meeting, in the Islamic Society of North America meeting, and the session was about justice in Islam and about what is the role of Muslims in the New World. And the title of this particular lecture by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, may Allah reward him and protect him, was Give and Take for God's Sake. How to give and take for God's sake. How to be truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to deal with what's happened. Not to deal like to go out and sometimes do something. How to deal in our hearts. These are very confusing times for many Muslims, brothers and sisters. They're a very confusing time. Many Muslims don't know really where to stand. They see wrongs on many sides, and they don't know which side to take. And in these hard times, we really need the scholars. We need al-ulama to tell us where we are. And this is one of them. You know, many ulama will have many different opinions, and I'm not saying that nobody else has other opinions, but it's one thing that, you know, we need to present. And Sheikh Hamza Yusuf is closer to many of us in this country. He was born here, he was raised here, he knows the system very well, he understands where we live and where we come from. And that gives him an advantage over many other scholars.